I had skipped a whole episode. So I had managed to go from 8, skipping episode 9, which was critical, and then straight to episode 10.
So you're like, how did he get here?
I was like, wait a minute, this isn't how I left it, you know?
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
Hello, Edward Willett. Hello, Ted. So you're on the mend back from the flu, huh?
I'm on the mend back from the flu. Was feeling kind of icky last week, Thursday. Thought I could power through it. And I woke up on Friday morning with 104 fever. Delirious to the world.
How many people, though, like get the sniffles and they're like, oh my God, I got the flu. But like you had the real deal, man.
I had the real deal. I went to urgent care and they diagnosed actual influenza A.
So you didn't get the shot or you did?
I got the shot, but I fell in that 20%, the doctor said, of people that get the shot and still can contract influenza.
I'm not taking you to Vegas, then. You're bad luck.
Or I'm good luck. 20%. It's odds against me.
Yeah, but the wrong way, though.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah.
Well, the kids were lucky because they also got sick this weekend, and it was like a cascade. I got sick on Thursday. Audrey got sick on Friday. I took her to the pediatrician on Saturday, and by the time I was taking her to the pediatrician on Saturday, Bryce was getting sick. So now it's Sunday, and Bryce is kind of at the peak of his sickness. I'm still breaking my sweat, breaking my fever every day, so I break out in this sweat when my fever comes down. It's disgusting, and I just try to take showers all the time, but yeah.
So you guys are all taken off school and work tomorrow then?
Yeah, tomorrow's like a free day. I think there's teacher conferences this week, so.
Oh, so they caught that pretty good.
Yeah, so I was going to take the day off of work anyway for kin care, and Anne comes home tomorrow, so luckily.
Yeah, she's on the East Coast?
Yeah, she was trying to come home early from the funeral. I was like, no, I'm sick, but, you know, Grandpa Frank took the kids to school on Friday morning. He was a trooper, and he helped get them in there. Carrie, our friend, picked them up from school, and then Bryce had an audition on Friday evening, so I had to, like, muster some energy and get us to this audition. And Audrey was passed out, you know, from the peak of her sickness. So, yeah.
Yeah. Part of why we didn't record last week, you know, death in the family. And then there was a birthday and all kinds of family stuff going on. It was just a little bit too hectic.
Tons of family stuff. Yes.
So you thinking ale will help you do all right or no ale?
Let's see. So I'm going to go with a Sessions IPA.
Okay.
I'm not going to do anything crazy. I'm just doing Golden Road Wolf Pup Sessions IPA.
Perfect. The Wolf Pup Sessions IPA. You know what? Sometimes like that kind of stuff, if you think about it, like one like kind of low ABV beer, you know, serious, like a little bit of alcohol kind of numb you a little bit, but not so much so that it runs your body down any further.
I know. This is like 4.5% or something.
All right. So this week, I have what appears to be like one of those, how would you call it? Like where two breweries come together and...
A collab.
Yeah, like a collaboration. Okay. Yeah. So it looks like Bottle Logic Brewing collaborated with Ritual Brewing, and they made this English-style barley wine. Well, I should have saved this for when you had like a high ABV, but it's pretty easy to beat you this week. But this thing is 13.59 ABV. Nice. So, you know, they went so far, they carried it out to the 100th place on the decimals. So I think they're all right with it, but we'll find out. Yeah, this sucker was a little bit expensive, but whatever.
You only live once.
Oh, my. That's right. I guess you only record once a week. So, yeah. And the funny thing is, so I pretty much quit drinking during the week. And man, I'll tell you, you quit drinking during the week and like the body fat just starts falling off.
Yeah. I wish. I only drink during our shows pretty much. Well, I guess
cheers.
Not. Cheers.
Oh, wow. That's like completely amazing. Malty. Yeah, a little bit boozy, you know, but not too bad. I mean, it's really smooth. Oh, like as it is settling on the palate, like Like caramel, like really rich, expensive caramel. Nice. Like if, you know, like, oh, it's just getting better. I'm going to have to sip this and then like, and then ride the wave like every 30 seconds or so, you know, man, this is like really good. Well worth it.
What's the name again?
The name is Arcane Rituals, released 2019. Yeah, English style barley wine ale. Oh, it's in bourbon, brandy, and VSOP cognac barrels.
Wow.
So all three, I guess. Maybe they transferred. I don't even know how you would do that. But yeah, it's really like, this is like super amazingly awesome.
It's a slutty barley wine because it goes from barrel to barrel to barrel.
That's right. That's right. Getting all of the oak contaminants. Now, very good, though. Completely amazing. So one of the things while we were off, I submitted a question to How to Money podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And it was episode 160, How to Money. If anybody wants to go out there and check it out and listen to my, it was an audio, and listen to my question about should I rent or buy a car for long distance travel or like road trips and stuff. And, well, you know, you can hear how Joel and Matt answered it. And it was a lot of fun. And we had a fun back and forth for a few days, like through email and other things and other chatting. So they're pretty cool dudes. So check out episode 160 and you can hear me on that podcast.
That was cool. And, you know, I'm a little envious of them because I was watching that show and they get to sit in the same room and actually cheers when they do their podcast.
Right. I know. And they're drinking the same beer every time too, which is so cool. I mean, for us to do the same beer, we definitely can, but it would just create like a logistical, like we would just have to plan way too far in advance.
A logistical complication that is beyond what
beyond the effort I want to put into trying to have the same beer as Ted.
Yeah.
And yeah, otherwise the past couple weeks were a bit quiet. I put a new TV in the garage.
Okay, cool.
And so yours is a 49 incher.
Yeah.
Right. And this is a 32. But what brand was yours?
Mine is an LG.
Oh, okay. This is a TCL. Never heard of TCL. But what sold me on it is it's a Roku TV.
Oh, yeah. That's the it's a Roku TV. Right. Built-in Roku. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally awesome. And so here's a quick funny one. So all of I log in and there's all of the
can I
channels.
Can I guess first?
Go ahead. What?
$89.
No, it was like I got the 1080p version.
Oh, okay.
So because I figured 1080p, we're into 4K. Why would I go down to 720? No, it was like 129 maybe.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. I mean, still. I mean, like
nothing. Yeah.
It's like, yeah.
I bet you could have gotten that if you bought that during Black Friday or, you know, leading up to Christmas. I bet the sale was down to $90.
Probably. Yeah. So what I did, because we would always do like, we would watch movies and TV shows and various things while we're doing the indoor trainer and stuff. Uh-huh. And, but we're watching a 15-inch laptop, a 2007 MacBook Pro.
That you love so much.
Oh, the thing is still a workhorse, but you know, we're doing it. And then every once in a while it freezes and stuff. And I mean, it's starting definitely to feel the age.
Oh, and no Disney Plus, remember? Because of the sample rate.
Yeah. It won't do Disney Plus and everything. So, you know, I bit the bullet, mounted on the wall in there right in front of us and stuff. And like, it was cheap enough. And so anyway, I log in and through the Roku account that we have, and there's like all these stations that I didn't realize I had that I never used. So I'm just going through deleting them all, right? So I'm in the garage, delete. Timmy comes blasting in. What happened to Happy Tree Kids or whatever it's called? It disappeared.
Oh my God.
I didn't realize as I'm deleting it,
it's global.
It's like, it's deleting on the other Roku device in the TV room while the boys are in the middle of watching it. So he just comes blasting in the garage in hysterics. I mean, like, it just deleted. It disappeared. So that was actually like, I'm like, wait, what? Oh, sorry, kiddo. All right, let me fix that. You know, so I went, I put him back on and stuff. But yeah, that was pretty good. So if anybody who has multiple Rokus, what you do to one does to all of them.
That's awesome, though.
because I thought Roku, like, even though it's the same account, I thought it would recognize different devices and then you can
different boxes. Yeah. Makes
different
sense.
Boxes and stuff. No, it's like what you do to one does to all. So yeah, I thought it was going to say like, well, your TV is set up this way. Your Roku box, your device, whatever is set up that way.
Right.
Apparently not. Yeah. And then other than that, you know, just structured training, getting ready for Leadville again. And the boys are in swimming. They're making great gains in swimming. So it's cool to see him come along and now taking actual strokes and underwater and all the rest.
That's cool.
So other than being sick, you know, how was the past few weeks for you?
Past few weeks have been good. Work is, you know, ramping up incredibly.
Now, is that like seasonal or something? Is that why or what's the reason for that?
I think it's just my position and my space. I'm just, you know, I'm much more comfortable where I am and I'm just trying to build on things that I've had for over the past decade. So,
oh, I gotcha.
I think it's just a familiarity and a trust that's been built up over this, you know, past couple of years. So,
oh, well, that's cool.
So it's neat. And then for us and for BitCast next week, there's a podcast Movement Evolutions here in LA.
Is that like a trade show?
It's a conference for, and they kind of did this one last minute. So it came up quick. They're doing another one in Texas in August, but they put together one in LA because they were clamoring for one. And I talked to Marcus over at BitCast and I'm going to go there representing BitCast and representing us, Trailer Junkies Podcast. So I'll be there next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Hopefully my flu will be fully gone by then and I can make it to all my conference, all my, you know, shows that I want to see, all the different panels that I want to talk to.
Yeah, and then have one pocket full of our cards and one pocket full of BitCast cards, play the game, like what's your favorite movie? And
I just ordered a new series of business cards because I'm out of them. So I think they're at my office right now because I was going to pick them up on Friday.
Awesome. That's very cool.
And I ordered 200. Don't tell Anne. She's not going to listen to this podcast, but if she does, I ordered 200 instead of the normal 100.
Yeah, and then you're getting the bulk rate. So, you know, it's all working out, right?
Yeah, of course. A little 20% off. Yep.
Perfect. So you're just tell her, well, I'm going to get them anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got to justify, you know, somehow to yourself. All right, what do you say we get into some trailers?
Let's do it.
Yeah, it's been a little bit, man. I'm probably rusty. I need to get warmed up still. All right, The Undoing.
Yes, The Undoing.
So on HBO, has a great cast, but is this enough to get you to subscribe, even if it's for a month, to HBO?
I don't know about subscribing to HBO. HBO definitely has a slate of shows that's coming up and, you know, it might be part of a bundle that makes me interested in spending a month on HBO and knocking out some of the shows. I think that's going to be the new way people handle this under bundled streaming economy, you know?
Wait, what's going to be the new way?
The way you do it where you turn things off and you turn things.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know, so this could add into the pool of things that I want to see. But I actually got this from our Trailer Junkies alumni, James Edgington. He edited this trailer and I think he did an amazing job. It has that suspenseful thriller pace.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you really want to know what's going on. I've been watching You this week. You've been watching Mr. Robot. We'll talk about then what we're watching. But
yeah, for sure.
You know, that whole idea of this suspense and this being trapped, it's such a huge theme in everything that we're looking at today, all the trailers we're looking at today. And it's like, it is the new normal of what is getting into the American psyche in filmmaking and cinema.
Yeah, and James Edgington was on episode 69. So we interviewed him. He's a trailer editor, a Brit, and it was a lot of fun to talk with.
Yeah, so it was great to see him doing this, and he was promoting it on, like I said, LinkedIn, and great to share some love and spread it around for him. And you know, it's an amazing trailer. She's amazing.
I can't help, though, every time I see Donald Sutherland, to think of Kelly's Heroes, you know, where he played the World War II hippie tank commander.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like a goof. He's like goof in there, right?
Yeah, like I just can't get around like that character of him, and like everything I see him in just reverts back to, you know, the hippie tank commander, like before there were hippies.
Right. And but Nicole Kidman is like timeless, right?
Do you think she, I mean, she looks awesome for 52 years old. Do you think she had work done?
Well,
she had to have.
Maybe she has, but it's regardless of that, it's amazing. She's an amazing, she's looked the same for at least 20 years, at least 20, 25 years.
So here's a bit of trivia for you. You know where she's from, right?
Australia, right?
Yeah, but did you also know that she's an American citizen?
I did not know that.
Yeah, she was born in Honolulu, Hawaii. In 1967.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so apparently she's an anchor baby.
or she could become president.
Yes, she can. That is very true. Could you imagine, though, like some weird anomaly like that, and the president of the United States has an Australian accent? That would be incredible. Like, you're born here, but like you're a citizen over there. Yeah. And that would be actually really cool. You know, like you hear speeches, you know, for the next like 8 years, and he's got this Australian accent, you know.
And the queen's laughing because it's like the penal colony took over the lost colony, you know?
That's right. Yeah, there you go. There you go. Any idea what she's suspected of doing? It doesn't really lead to that, I don't think.
I don't know. It's like, it's this boy, right? Did she have an affair with the boy and then the husband killed the boy or killed the husband? I don't know.
Yeah, it's too hard.
It's a teaser, you know? It's they're just laying the groundwork to build the world and just whetting your appetite. Just what is it called? Thirst? What do the kids say?
A thirst? I have no idea. My kids aren't old enough to say that yet.
Something about being thirsty all the time.
Ah,
it's an Instagram then, thing. I'll have to look it up.
It's a limited series. How many episodes is this? Like 6 or something, or 8?
Yeah, probably less than that. I think if you go eight, you don't have to say limited. It's got to be 4 or 6.
4 to 6, yeah. And then I don't know. I've never really been a fan of Hugh Grant.
Really?
I don't know, man. I watch him and stuff, and like, maybe it goes way back to like when he was like the rom-com guy, you know, and I just never was really into him, maybe because of like the rom-coms.
I love rom-coms.
But, well, okay, there you go then. So you love Hugh Grant.
If you haven't seen 9 months, I would definitely suggest seeing 9 months.
9 months. That sounds like somebody knocks up a girlfriend and 9 months later. And
yeah, Hugh Grant's in it, and the late Robin Williams plays the delivering doctor. So
yeah, so it's like from 9.5 weeks comes 9 months, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so you know, I'll have to say though, I would probably get back on HBO again, maybe like, oh, I don't know, like let a bunch of shows come out again.
Yeah.
And then let them kind of build up a catalog, and then like you're on for like 2 months, binge all the HBO you want, and then boom, you're out of there again, you know?
And all the services, I think I got an email from HBO 2 weeks ago. They're like, Friday afternoon, it's like, your weekend preview has begun. And I already knew that I was going to be out like the whole weekend. And I was like, oh, I guess this isn't going to happen this weekend. You know what I mean? Like, had it been a good weekend, like a weekend I got sick or something, then I could have binged, you know, stuff on HBO. But
you're like on the sofa, big bowl of ice cream, you know, and just going for it, just one after another. And yeah, you know, and that's the time, like I always hate getting sick, you know, like getting sick is just the pits. I mean, like I'm not talking about just like a cold. I mean, when you're just laid out, you know, like fever and everything.
Yeah.
But one thing I got to say about getting sick, though, that I do enjoy is like, life is so busy and there's so much going on, like always, that like it forces you to sit and do those things that you would otherwise love to do, but there's just no time in life to do it. And it like a flu comes down with a massive sledgehammer and says, no, you're going to sit here and just watch a lot of TV or read books or whatever you're going to do that you otherwise would love to do. But nope, life is happening. You can't do it.
Yeah. And I spent a day sleeping. So that was the first day. And then when you're out of it, but you still have a fever and you're kind of like, you're just getting your feet under you.
You're almost good enough to do something, but the minute you start doing it, like it just hammers you back down again.
Right. The minute you stand up out of bed, you're like, whoa, did that too soon. Then
yeah, I'm dizzy.
Then you can
head spins.
Just turn on the TV and just like fall asleep to some television or something. But it's so funny with when you're faking the single parent thing, you know, because the wife's away or something. It's like you're forced to like, oh, feed the kids and do some of that stuff. And even when you're sick, you know, it's like,
even though you're sick and everything. Yeah.
Audrey
yeah.
was trying to cook, but she was sick too, you know, and it's like, oh, good try, baby. Thanks. Thanks for the effort.
That's right. So vivarium.
Yes.
That's the next one. What's with the name?
I don't know. I meant to look it up, but obviously.
Yeah, it should have been called Suburbia.
Well, I think that was Taken, right? So they've already had a movie.
That's true. Yeah. You know, the funny thing is they're putting in a neighborhood. Oh, I don't know, like a mile and a half from here, 2 miles from here, you know, our house. Mm-hmm. And it's weird to watch like all these homes go up all at once into a finished state.
Right.
Because it's so, looking at the aesthetics of that is so like perfect to what they almost show in this neighborhood, but everything's not green. Everything is more like stucco brown.
Right.
And the way it's depicted in Vivarium, it's just... The suburbs are very an American suburb, and they've probably infiltrated the rest of the world too. But I mean, they're just these bizarre, like Levittown, you know, it's like,
yeah,
the whole thing goes up all at once to a completed state. And then it's like everybody just buys all the homes all at once. All the trees are small and then all the trees are big years later. Like, it's just so weird to watch happen. And unless you're familiar with how suburbs are in the States, I mean, it's just, it's really, it's almost like there's no grit or anything, you know? And sometimes the grit of like a DC or like a Chicago neighborhood or probably like, you know, Brooklyn or something. I mean, like when you have that grit, you have character.
Right.
There's no character.
Or like New York brownstone or...
Yeah, no, for sure.
Or even the San Fernando Valley, you know what I mean? They're all little ranchers, but they all have character. And then you go a little further out the valley and then they have like the track, then it turns into suburbia here and there. But
well, what's cool about the valley though, like where you and my in-laws live and everything, it's like you guys have this little like enclave of homes that were built in the 40s, maybe 30s, maybe 50s, kind of all around you.
Yeah.
And they were all these like one-offs that people just got a plot of land and plop down a house, and they're all different. They're all unique. I mean, they're all so cool. These little, like, you know, 1500, whatever, 1200 to 2500 square foot houses and stuff, but they're all like their own style. They're not just,
yeah,
it's not like all you did was like flip the floor plan and then it call it a different style. You know what I mean?
Yes. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah.
So does this take place in the Commonwealth somewhere?
It seems like it.
I mean, right side steering.
Yeah. She's on the other side. She's driving on the other side. The guy seems like he's Australian, right? Or something, right?
Maybe.
The little host guy.
Oh, the host guy. Okay. Yeah.
You know.
I know. Is that dude like, he's like wrinkled porcelain.
So creepy. He's like the dolls in Toy Story 4.
Oh, it's, you're right.
Ventriloquist doll, you know?
Well, and it's so funny. I'm like, hey, Timmy, let's watch Toy Story 4. No way, that one scared me. It's like, yeah, I get it now, you know? Because like, this guy scares me. Like, you look at a doll and you're just thinking to yourself, well, it's just a doll. But now you look at this guy and you're like, okay, he's creepy.
They built whole horror movies around the ventriloquist dolls. So
that's true.
There's a reason why they do that.
That's true. And the neighborhood also reminds me of a British style neighborhood, even the ones that you'd see in Harry Potter and so on.
Yeah. So what do you think the message is though? Cause I mean, I think this is a movie that is an interesting theme to see in execution, but the trailer to me gives a lot of it away, probably gives, you know, 80% of away, and you want to see it for the punchline. But I think it's making a statement that we can probably derive from the trailer.
So what do I think? That's a good question. And I think the message that it's sending is that home ownership is not necessarily all that it is, right?
Right.
So life is more about experiences, maybe travel. Not, I mean, obviously you need a place to lay your head. I'm not saying like be a hobo and do van life or something. Hashtag van life. But yeah, I think it's one of those things where like somehow the American dream, if you want to talk about that, got changed from pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and making something from nothing, right? That was like, in a way, the American dream. And somewhere, whether it was Clinton or George Bush or something, the American dream turned into like homeownership.
100% Clinton.
Yeah, probably Clinton, right?
100%.
You're going to have the American dream, boom, buy a house. Well, I don't know if that's so true. I mean, you could have other great places to live and, you know, and now you see people like living in tiny houses and campers and, you know, big houses and garage mahals and and all these things. But I think that's kind of the message, is to say, like, don't be so eager to like sell your life just to get a house. What are your thoughts?
So I got that, and that was definitely the first part of it.
I gave the simple answer.
Yeah, but I think the minute that they opened the box with the baby in it, and the only feedback you get from your captors is raise this baby and you will be freed. You know, if that's the only feedback you're getting from the people that have trapped you in this Escher painting, you know, an Escher drawing, you know?
Yeah.
I think it is more about like the myth of family and everything. I mean, I think it goes much deeper. I think you're on the path when you're saying family, you know, they were together in real life before this happened. But then home ownership is...
It's like the rat race.
Considered a stepping stone in, you know, establishing your family, and then having children is the next stepping stone, establishing your family, and then getting the children out of your house. And then finally, you know, that's when you're empty nesters and you can finally go back to doing things that you want to do as a couple, or want to do as a couple in love or something like that. So
yeah, for sure.
Your whole life as parents is wrapped up in what the kids need to have done, you know? And I think it's that taken to the nth degree in this satire, in this fiction that's just led in this loop where you can fall into a loop of like, oh, this the routine of the process of being together, you know?
Get up, eat, go to work, come home, eat, go to bed. Somewhere in there, you do like a few things you enjoy. Blink a few times, you're 80. Yeah. So, I mean, I get what you're saying. I mean, I think that's very true. It's like we're all so quick to want to do things. Like, I'll give you an analogy. So in 1998, I rode my bicycle across the country. Mm-hmm. I started in Seattle, Washington, and rode to Washington, D.C. And I tell people about riding my bike across the country for like, well, almost the past, what, 30 years now, I guess? No, 20 years, 22 years. Mm-hmm. So some people respond with, wow, what an amazing adventure. That must have been fantastic. While others respond, flying would have been quicker. Right? So, and it's like, well,
you missed the point.
It's not like I wanted to go to DC to see like Lincoln's memorial or the Lincoln Monument or whatever they call it.
Yes.
You know, like if I just wanted to do that, I would have flown there. The point was to take, you know, like 6 weeks to ride my bike across the country.
Yeah.
So I think people are so eager for the end result that they forget there's a journey getting there. Everybody wants the degree. Nobody wants to sit in class listening to a philosophy lecture. You know, they just want the piece of paper, but they're missing out on so much of life's experiences while they're trying to just get the end result. Mm. And I think that might be part of what they're getting at here is like, man, slow down a little bit and smell the roses.
Right.
It's not about just getting the house and the family and the baby and da 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 da. Next thing you know, you retire and kids are out of the house and go live in Florida. You know, I mean, if that's the case, well, shit, man, I may as well like just go to the grave now, because like that's where we're all headed anyway. I may as well enjoy the ride while I'm on my way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. Yes. And just for some trailer craft here. I think the quote editing needed to be a little tighter. There's a lot of copy to read.
There is a lot of copy to read.
It's like so much copy. You can't.
And it blasts by you so fast.
Yeah. And then the Rotten Tomatoes had a score of 89%.
89%. Yeah.
89% of Rotten Tomatoes as of this date. And it was like December of last year. And I was like, oh, do they expect it to go down? And I looked it up today and it was down to 83%. So I don't know.
That's hilarious. Like, I didn't look it up. So I'm glad you did. Well, and here's the funny thing, though. So we've covered a couple of hundred trailers minimum. Uh-huh. And we've probably covered about 180, let's say.
Yeah.
First one ever had a Rotten Tomatoes score. I could say with certainty. Yeah, that I saw that. I'm like, man, they're like really hoping.
They're reaching.
That, oh, yeah. Look at. They actually do think we're okay. And we're not quite 90. Yeah. Like, it's like, come on.
Bryce said to me last week, Bryce came and he goes, Daddy, you know what a C is? And I said, yeah, C means, it's not as good as a B and it's satisfactory. And he goes, yes, it's the average. So, if you get a C, you're good. I said, no, you're average. B is good and A is great. And he goes, no, C is like acceptable. I was like, what did you get a C on that you need all this explaining for? And it's funny because he gets grades on his assignments, but his classwork only gets like some pass fail kind of thing.
Yeah, well, they do that a lot where in education nowadays. And what the reason I think for that is they want to make sure
get every drop
that kids are practicing. No, I was looking to see if it was bottle conditioned, and it looks to be.
Really? After all those barrels, it's still bottle conditioned?
Well, bottle conditioned just means, and let's back up for one second.
Sorry.
Ted caught me looking down the barrel of the neck of the bottle, and as if I was looking to make sure I got it all, and I was looking to see if it was bottle conditioned. Just a quick aside, bottle conditioning means that the beer goes into the bottle flat, but they add some sugars and the yeast continue to work on those sugars they add to create the carbonation and also to like fix any off flavors that may have occurred or to fix anything. And it actually like creates an even like better, more robust like flavor profile that otherwise like an aged flavor profile. So if you just like force carb it with CO2, throw it in a bottle, like you get, say, like a Budweiser or something.
Uh-huh, like a soda.
Budweiser, even like, the one that you're drinking and stuff, yeah. They'll never improve.
Right.
What's in the can will always be what it is in the can, where these actually improve over time if they're bottle conditioned.
Ah, I see.
So, okay.
Sorry.
Time in. So, yeah, overall, Vivarium, I think this is, definitely in-home viewing.
Yes, 100%.
However, 100% in-home viewing. In other words, I definitely want to watch this. I think it has a lot of meaningful, maybe not meaningful. It has a lot of good information that could lead towards like a good cogent argument that says the lives we're living, there's way more to it. When you're done with the movie, now go out and actually live life and stop trying to like acquire a bunch of junk,
right?
And fill up your house. And then when that house gets filled, sell it, buy a bigger house. And essentially it's all about the rat race, I think, And so
awesome.
Guns Akimbo. Another one. What's with the name?
Guns Akimbo. I don't know. I like this name. I think this name, even though I don't understand it, that's one of my favorite names of...
Who's Akimbo? Oh, it's a good name.
Isn't it like a famous samurai?
Akimbo? Well, you look up the Goog. Man, lots of gunplay, though.
Yeah.
Working in the industry, here's a question that I do have. There's like so much gunplay in this. Do you think somehow lobby groups like the NRA or something are somehow funneling money like through some third channel into the producer or the production company and everything to like get movies like this made? In other words, who stops a bad guy with a gun? A good guy with a gun.
A good guy with two guns bolted to his hands.
Bolted to his hands, yeah. It just seems to me as though it's just I don't know. I mean, these kinds of movies have just so much gunplay that it's like right out of the NRA lobby book.
Yeah, I mean, I think so, but I think because...
Oh, you think they do fund some of these production?
Oh, no. I'm agreeing with the fact that you said that there's a lot of gunplay in this. But
okay.
I think the satire that it is showcasing is actually more about the fact of what the social media culture has done to us as a society.
Oh, I was thinking more video game.
Well, I think the convergence of those two things.
Okay.
Because when you think of Fortnite.
Yeah.
Fortnite is a video game.
Uh-huh.
But it's also multi-user, so it's a social media / video game.
Right, and you can play on your phone, you can play on every device and be in the same world with people.
Right, and you are in there with real people, interacting them in real time, you know? So I think that if you take it to the next level, you can add this on as a gameplay in this real world environment, you know, and you take a degenerate future, you know, take a dystopic future, and you kind of create this space where laws and society degrades to a point where things like this are acceptable.
Yeah, I got you. So it's almost like a take on like not so much pro-gun, but anti-social media around guns or something.
Yeah, it's just like guns are not, guns are here to stay, I think. There's no getting rid of all the guns, I think.
Yeah, there's like 100 guns per person in the country or something.
Yeah, something like that. So I think this is what people think could happen in a world like that, which is our world right now, you know? You know, during this political season, I think there have been a couple of mass shootings and I didn't hear about it because politics, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, they want to keep it quiet.
I've heard more about the political race than the couple of shootings that I heard just blips of. And of course I was sick with the flu. So I didn't hear a lot of news and when I was well, I didn't want to turn on the news too much, but
well, it'll make you sick. That's right. You want to heal.
But I like this as, you said Harry Potter with the last movie. This is, you know, Harry Potter, again, stretching and trying to do stuff to break out of the mold of Harry Potter. And yet it's still Harry Potter, right? I mean, he never has to work again, but he wants to. And it's like, and it's sad and it's great. And he gets to do things like this that he might want to do. But I don't know, is he typecast for the rest of his life as Harry Potter?
Well, that's probably why the beard. Uh-huh. Or is Donald Sutherland typecast as the hippie tank commander?
See?
Right? So, okay, maybe you have a point, but...
He didn't shed it and he had 50 years.
Right. You know, I don't know. Is he typecast as Harry Potter? I don't think so. I mean, I think at some point people break out of roles. And I mean, if you like, how old was he when he started? Oh, you know, like or something?
8, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, say at 50 years old, dude's still acting. Do you think people are going to be like, oh, yeah, you're Harry Potter. You're the 8-year-old. You know, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Why, do you think so?
I don't know. I kind of caught glimpses. You know, when he's trying to be nice in this movie, to me, that was kind of Harry Potter-esque. And when he's trying to kick the girl out of the car at the end, I was like, he's trying to be so nice and genuine about it that I thought it was, you know, it just felt very subdued, you know?
Well, maybe the beard, too, is part of why he's where he is. But I mean, when you think about it, though, I mean, he's been in, holy cow, I'm on IMDb, and he's been in like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I mean, 20 some odd movies and or television shows. Yeah, Robot Chicken and Two Dope Queens. Never even heard of that. But he's been in a lot of stuff since then. So I don't know. I mean, I think he'll eventually get away from Harry. Like, I didn't think of Harry Potter when I saw this.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's okay. He'll be all right. He'll survive.
Good.
Yeah, he'll survive. All right. So Guns Akimbo. So, I mean, would you watch this though? Or
If I could get Anne to see it because she's a huge Harry Potter fan, then Anne's the one who gave me this trailer. So
what?
She might be interested in this movie.
Anne strikes me as like someone who would not be into all the gunplay though.
Yeah. she likes a good action movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
She would be the last person I would say, like, who. So here's a question then, though. Would you show this with your kids?
Probably not.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
And I think this is one of those movies where just the gore factor of the guns bolted to his hands is just a little barbaric.
Right.
That Bryce would be, you know, guarding his face the whole time. Audrey could watch this. Audrey would be into it, but anything that doesn't have Kylo Ren, Adam Driver in it, she doesn't want to watch it.
Here's the thing though. Like, well, my kids are definitely much younger. However, let's say they were the age of your kids, mm-hmm. you know, what, 10 and 14?
Yeah.
Okay. Assuming 10 and 14, I probably still wouldn't. For no other reason then, I don't know where this movie's going to go.
Exactly.
So there's been things we watch, like, perfect example, the boys are watching Vivarium. And of course, what's the question they ask at the end? Daddy, what does the middle finger mean? I had no clue they were going to show, you know, the middle finger They're flipping off the kid and the kid's flipping off them, you know?
And screaming. And
so it's those sorts of things. Like, I don't know where it's going to go. And I don't want to have to be like, whoops, that was a mistake. Sorry, kiddos.
I can't explain it to you, but just don't do it.
That's right. That's right. And never say you're number one like this. All right. So let's finish up with a brief Marvel sizzle.
Yeah. So we had the Super Bowl past weekend, 2 weekends ago.
Right.
And there are a lot of commercials on it, a lot of ads. But this one for Marvel's new take in the Marvel Cinematic Universe going into Disney Plus. So this is a trailer of, it's called The Big Game Spot.
Now, okay, Marvel sizzle. It's like a sizzle reel of Marvel going into Disney Plus. It looks like it's not just saying, hey, all your favorite Marvel movies are in Disney Plus. It's saying this is new content coming out. It is new content.
So,
but is it a show or is it just future movies? Is this a series? Like, I don't even know what this is.
Okay. So you have to be in the know of what's going on to have this.
Situation. You have to work in Disney's marketing department to know.
No, I mean, you have to go to Comic-Con. You have to be like in.
Yeah, no, I know.
That space. But these are a suite of series. So I bet they're going to be like 10 episode series. Again, I'm not speaking for Disney. I don't know. I don't have any inside knowledge of Disney Plus or Disney or Marvel.
So each character has their own short series.
Their own series. And I wouldn't necessarily call it short. I would say that now 10 is the new normal. You know, I think.
Okay, sure.
10 and 8 episodes is a typical season of a new series.
Yeah.
And we'll see if the frequency ticks up from once a year, because I think that's going to be the next thing that might happen. But yeah, so Falcon and the Winter Soldier are going to have a series together where Falcon's going to be the new Captain America, which was alluded to at the end of the Infinity War Endgame.
Right. Right.
And then WandaVision is this new sitcom-esque take on Wanda and Vision's life together. If Scarlet Witch and Wanda hadn't, or I guess Vision, it hadn't perished, you know. And then Loki has his own series. So those are at least 3 series. I think those are the ones, right?
So can I just say that I take issue with Falcon becoming the new Captain America?
Why?
You know, it's like everybody has their character. Uh-huh. Marvel has like 5,000 characters or something ridiculous. I mean, it's like unheard of the number of characters that they have. But it's as if to say, you know, you played Falcon for all these years and Falcon was like a character nobody actually cared about. We like you as an actor. We like to keep you on. How about you just like, but the other guy's contract was due. He didn't want to renew it. So how about we just keep you on? But, you know, like the audience polls better with Captain America than Falcon. But like, you're actually like a likable guy. So we'll just make you the new Captain America because your old character just was like meaningless and no one actually gave a shit, you know? And I mean, it's just like, I just don't get why you would like abandon one guy's character to take on a new persona or something.
Well, I think they did it. They did it in the comic books. So there is a history of this, and I want to find.
Oh, so we have Stan to blame.
Yes.
So Stan was like, well, whenever we put out a Falcon comic book, no one seems to buy it. So let's make, you know.
No, I think it was actually Jack Kirby. So we can get Stan off of that. But I do want to say, like, I just know this generally speaking, that they have had, and I think it was supposed to be the Winter Soldier. So in the comic books, I think the Winter Soldier takes the death of Captain America. So they killed off Captain America for a big finale, you know, so they do that in the comic books to sell more comic books. They kill off a character. But then, you know, when the shield is still there and the need is still there for that hero,
right,
someone picks up the mantle of that name, you know? And it's very similar to the Rise of Skywalker. You know, when we talked about the end of the Rise of Skywalker, when, you know, Rey Palpatine calls herself Rey Skywalker, you know, it's very similar to that.
That's right.
So it's the mantle of a name. It's the mantle of a character, of a shield, you know, so I think that's what they're doing.
Okay. You convinced me. I'll buy it. So no, this is cool though. I mean, I think it adds to more Marvel stuff to watch. And I mean, Disney's got to be paying some coin. I mean, they have all these actors from these, like, I mean, the
multi-million dollar movies, right?
Oh, I mean, the whole franchise has got to be like, I mean, probably close to $1 billion or something.
It's over $1 billion. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, you know, but let's put it this way. I mean, Marvel has brought so much money to the Disney Corporation and Marvel Studios and the whole thing that, yeah, I mean, even at, what do we pay, like $279 a month for 3 years?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, even for that, like, you're going to lay the foundation. You're going to plant the seed of these more episodes. Well, the seed's already been planted, but the tree's growing.
Yes.
And when you put more movies into the theater and everything, I mean, it's just more hype. I mean, you know, it's like loss leaders at a minimum, but they're going to make so much through the years because of this stuff.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be this great testing ground for things, I'm sure. You know, they'll be able to see what things are.
Ooh, a testing ground. You're right. Okay, yeah. Sure. That's a good thing too.
Like you have these four series come out and internally they can, you know, I don't have any access to this information. And I'm sure only five people at Disney have it, you know, but, you know, they can, you know, Feige can look at it, tool it, figure out what to do. And a lot.
Is he still involved with this, you think?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, okay.
And it's so funny because over the weekend, you know, when Bryce was laid up in bed with me, he wanted to watch something on Marvel, and we just finished watching a lot of the Marvel movies, so I didn't want to watch all the movies again. But there's other Marvel content on Disney Plus. So we started to watch some of the TV shows like Agent Carter. And Agent Carter got dark really quick, but halfway through the episode, I was like, oh, this is just like, this is television production, and it's made by a television studio. So you get that feeling as you're walking through the television series, and a little less so in the Netflix Marvel series. They felt a little more filmic, but they're still kind of disjointed from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And because this uses the actual characters of the Cinematic Universe, it has to, and it already looks like it continues in the full cinematic vein of shooting these series the way they shot Mandalorian in full cinematic splendor, you know?
I'm a fan. I'm going to watch.
We have, if they release it in the next 3 years, we're good.
I think we're okay with that.
We already paid for it.
Yeah, I think I'm okay. And hey, you know, even when it goes back up to $5 a month, I think I'll renew. So, all right, man. So, hey, what we're watching.
Yes. I'm excited. You started watching.
Well, you're going to be excited for a couple things.
Okay, tell me.
All right, so let's talk about Mr. Robot first.
Okay, good. How many seasons do you get to head through to yet?
How many seasons? Well, we're still in the first season.
Okay, good.
I think off the top of my head, I saw it was like, what, 8 episodes or 10 episodes? Oh, something cool. Like that. Yeah, the first season. No, I'm saying the first season's that many, right?
Oh, I think it's more.
No, I think it's 10.
Okay.
Well, I think we're like 7 episodes in.
Uh-huh.
I want to say. I want to, because we're near the end of the first season.
Okay.
By far, one of the best cinematography shows I've ever seen. So if you think about like photography, right, there's the rules.
Rule of thirds.
Rule of thirds, leading lines, fill the frame, you know, all these kind of rules. So what I love, though, is they're going to be like talking to somebody and the person will be like on screen left, looking left. Their nose is going to be about touching the left side of the screen. The entire right side is like a blank slate.
Yes.
And they're like talking off camera to someone off camera, right? And you're watching it. And now if this was me doing this, they'd be like, Jim, you completely missed the shot. Like you were totally off center. Like you didn't fill the frame, whatever. But it's done so well that to be able to break the rules, you first have to master the rules. Yes. And you can tell the director has mastered the rules. And now he knows exactly how to break these rules.
Yes.
Oh, the cinematography is just, like I've said, it's some of the best I've seen.
So the cinematography has one job throughout the whole series. And once you learn this about the series, it gives you you have this respect for it as a photographer. And me as like a film student, I kind of have respect for it. But it's about the oppression of the characters.
Okay.
So when they put the character, sometimes they have the character that's not even like, it's not even taking up like 1/5 of the height of the screen. And you see the little head there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's nothing going on in the rest of the whole picture. And
for sure. That's what I mean.
And it's just like, and it's the oppression. It's like the weight on this character is this whole frame. The whole frame is resting on this character's shoulders and on their head.
Right.
You know, and it's this pressure and it's this idea of being trapped. And you're trapped and you're so exposed. Like you're faced against the wall and you are exposed from all attacks from behind you. You know, it's like this fight. What is it? The fight or flight. It brings up this
like the lizard brain. It
brings up this lizard brain as you watch. You're like, that person's going to get attacked from the back, you know? So it is amazingly shot and it doesn't ever let up over all the years.
And even the way they like film like a Coke line or something.
Yeah.
I mean, and like they're pulling focus and then back and forth and it's just so,
I think it's Adderall
or no, morphine.
Oh, morphine. Okay.
Yeah. But still, he grinds up the morphine and the way they show the morphine line and they're pulling focus on it. I mean, it's just so incredible the way they do the cinematography. And then I think the story in and of itself is both relevant and prescient in many ways. I mean, it's very timely. Yeah. And I think it's also like forward looking in the sense that, yeah, hackers abound and we're all at the whim of a hacker. And I think to myself, like after watching a lot of these, I'm like, what could someone get me on? You know, like they're going to knock on the door and Clarissa answers. Yeah. You know, your husband I'm going to answer. If you don't come clean with like, you know, $50,000, we're going to show your wife these pictures. And I'm like, well, what am I doing? That's going to get me in trouble. You know? And
oh, they got deep fakes now. You don't have to do anything.
That's true. That's true. I don't have to. The other thing too, and I don't know if this is where it's going or if you've seen more than I have, but, this is mere speculation of what I've seen so far, but I think Christian Slater's character is more of like an alter ego, and this is more like a Fight Club for hackers.
Yes.
You know, like you talk about, the first rule of Fight Club is you don't talk about Fight Club. The second rule of Fight Club, you don't talk about Fight Club. But I feel like Christian Slater's character is actually him. Mm-hmm. It's like his alter ego in a sense. And it's just essentially like as a hacker, it's like Fight Club for hackers.
Right. So it is, you've unraveled part of the mystery and, you know, and I always think like, oh, when something great like that happens and, you know, you figured it out. So no spoiler for you, but it'll happen.
Well, let me back up really quick. Uh-huh. I'm the one who said, I don't think Christian Slater's real and it's his alter ego. And Clarissa's the one said, yeah, it's just like Fight Club.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So I didn't bring in the Fight Club. So I have to give her credit for bringing in the Fight Club side of it.
Because she's a big Fight Club fan.
I guess so.
but it's cool because they do that in the first season, and then you're like, oh, that's a one-trick pony. You can't do that every season. But he comes up, Sam Esmail comes up with new ways to engage the audience. You become more involved. In the first season, does he talk to you, talk directly to the audience? Talk directly?
He does not break the fourth wall.
Okay, so in later seasons, he breaks the fourth wall, and he treats the audience as another character.
Oh, cool.
And at times he's asking us to do things, and then he gets mad at us for not doing them.
That's so funny.
So it is a neat development, and I look forward to hearing more as you get into the seasons. You're right. 10 episodes, 12 episodes, 10 episodes, 13 episodes.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's totally, like, I couldn't think of a better television show. And I mean, breaking the fourth wall, whenever I see that happen, I always think back to Three's Company. And what was the guy's name? Norman or something? Or
Yeah, Norman Fell. Mr. Roper.
Mr. Roper, that's who it was. Norman
he
Fell.
He just turned to the camera, smiled, and nodded.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that was always, he'd break the fourth, like, he was the only guy, and he got away with it every time, too. Like, yeah.
And they just punched way in on his face.
Totally. But no, Mr. Robot, I mean, Remy does like stellar job. I think you really feel for the blonde woman, when, especially when she sees like the other women in Remy's bed, you know? And I mean, it's just, oh, it's so great.
Yes.
It's so great. Okay. So we got that out of the way. So here's a little bit of an older one. I think it's from 2017. And I believe it got the Academy Award for the best documentary.
Oh.
Icarus. You ever see Icarus on Netflix?
Oh, no. But I heard a podcast about the maker of it.
Yeah. So Icarus is really well done. It's about like more...
Talk about going deep into your story, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like... the Russian Olympic doping scandal, right? But the cool thing about it, though, is so the guy's like he starts off and he's gonna expose Lance Armstrong, essentially.
Yeah.
So he does this race in France, bicycle race, and he does it clean, and he scores like, I don't know what he scored, like 14th or something. And then the following year, he's gonna do it all doped up.
Right.
So he elicits the Russian doping like guru to guide his doping regimen over the course of this year. And this guy's going to get him to like win the race and all this, whatever. And while in the process of getting this Russian doping scandal guy, you know, to help him, well, it comes out that he's like at the root of the Russian doping for the Olympics, and the Russian, he runs the Russian anti-doping agency, and he does all this stuff that he winds up getting like indicted for. He has to go into witness protection and everything. I mean, completely awesome.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just so amazing how deep doping goes in sport, and like everybody's doping.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if there's something to be won, there's something to cheat for, I guess.
Yeah.
So that was one. And then Pandemic on Netflix.
Oh, I was going to watch that, but I watched the explained.
Well, you got the flu.
I watched the explained about pandemics instead, because it's only half. Oh, okay. Long.
Oh, there you go.
It's like the crib notes.
That, yeah. Yeah. The what are they called? The
Cliff Notes.
The Cliff Notes. There you go. No, it's a pro vaccine. So they kind of like show the anti-vaxxers is like crazy and stuff.
Ugh.
It like really builds up the swine flu and the avian flus, and kind of downplays Ebola. But I think with just cause, because as you well know, having the flu, like the day-to-day flu is so prolific that people get it. But who's getting Ebola? Right, you know, like right. Nobody. So there's essentially what they're saying is, yeah, Ebola is dangerous. It's scary. It could kill people. But it's so like
rare.
So few people. It's so rare. Yeah. But like H1N1, sure. Everybody's getting that.
Right. And that was a cool thing about when I watched the explained one, they had a graph. And basically, every time a disease passes through human communication, they chart it. They can chart it, but you can only chart it after it's run its course. You know what I mean? So,
right. Yeah.
While you're in the middle of it, like we're in the middle of this coronavirus, you don't know where you're going to end up. It's climbing in this scale of communicability and how much of a killer it is, and then how frequent it happens. So I think SARS died out on its own accord. You know what I mean? So it was, SARS would have been much scarier if it, because it was so highly communicable.
Right.
And it was super deadly, but it was also very frail and very short lived. So it killed a lot of people in a short amount of time, and it was communicated through air vents and things like that. But it killed itself out. It basically ran its course.
So in other words, the rearview mirror is cleaner than the windshield.
Yeah. There's no bugs. There are no bugs on the rearview mirror.
That's right. Perfect. Just really quick, we're continuing with the Clone Wars. So a funny story about that is, so we're watching the Clone Wars and we're back and, you know, we kept hitting resume. So it just keeps going to the next one over every night. So then we watched something else. Like the boys watched some cartoon or something. Winnie the Pooh, I think is what it was. So we had to go back into the Clone Wars and we couldn't figure out where we were. And I'm like, well, let's see what we've been watching. And it kind of shows you like what's been played, what hasn't yet. I'm like, oh my God, we're almost to the end of season two.
Oh, that's awesome.
And here I'm thinking season one was just like super long. So
you missed the beginning of season two.
No, we saw them all, you know, but yeah, it just, because it never gave any indication. It just goes to the next episode, and they just free flow into the next one.
Yeah.
So yeah, Clone Wars. And then the last thing, which you turned me on to a while back, and I'm finally getting around to it, is The Good Place.
Oh, good. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So I don't know, like 6 episodes maybe in, I'm going to guess. So not terribly deep into it. I would say it's a bit too on the nose. Like the jokes are funny. I'm not saying they're not funny. They're definitely funny, but like when they happen, they're kind of obvious.
Right, right. Okay, I get it.
You know, like, yeah. And, you know, while you're watching, it's one of those things like they'll like throw out some joke, you know, for what's like relevant to the scene. And it's so on the nose, you don't even laugh. You just kind of go like, yeah, I get it. You know, because like, it's too obvious that's, what else are you going to say?
Yeah. And I like it. To me, it was cool because it's like a frustrated screenwriter takes a psychology course or something. He gets a psychology degree, you know?
Right. And, you know, they're like, oh, here's the helper. And like, we're trying to give her a sense of humor. And then she's like, it's hump day. Ha ha ha. You know? And it's like on the one hand, like it's that's actually funny because for some reason people still think that's funny.
Right.
Like you go to work. Hey, you know, it's hump day. And you're like, really? That's still a thing. But like, because they do it, that's what makes it funny because like, you know, like people still think that's a thing.
Right.
But like I said, you get it, but it's just, you're not laughing at it. I don't know. It's clever, but
it's clever. It has to weave, you know, it's laying groundwork and it starts to really weave once it reveals things to you. And, you know, so I think, you know, the seasons definitely develop over the course. So it'll be interesting to see how you like it going on.
All right. So you've been sick with a lot of time on your hands. What have you been watching?
So I have only been watching you.
You? You've been watching me?
No.
Wait, are you Mr. Robot?
No.
You hacking my video cam? My computer's camera?
So the much scarier, the more real hacking is this guy, Joe. Joe is the main character of You and kind of like Dexter. He is the virtuous serial killer. You know, it used to be the hooker with a heart of gold. Now it's the serial killer with a code of ethics, you know?
So this is a TV show.
It's a TV show. It's on, it's ripped from the channels of the CW and Warner Brothers, but it's on Netflix. It was bought by Netflix. It was produced by Netflix. And it is
So it's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
And it's a 10 episode season, and it's in the second season right now. And I watched the first season, and I'm halfway through the second season. But each season has a girlfriend who the main character falls in love with and then decides to protect his girlfriend by murdering all of her friends and protecting her from bad influences.
So, I mean, you'd recommend it, I'm assuming.
It's really, really good. It's
all right. Maybe I'll put it on for when we're doing the trainer in the mornings. What are they, like 50 minutes or something?
Yeah, they're an hour long. It's cool because it's written well, and a lot of his dialogue, his inner monologue, where he's talking to, you know, Bex, his girlfriend, and he's trying to figure out, you know, what she needs and how he needs to be better for her and what she should do. So it's really all about his insecurity.
I just added it to my list.
Cool. So the first season, it was fine. Last night I was watching a couple nights ago. It's all a blur.
Yeah.
I was watching the end of episode 8.
Okay.
And you know how it rolls into that episode thing and it says next episode, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then if you click the next episode, so I clicked the next episode and then I clicked skip intro or something like that, right?
Right. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Or skip recap. So I
Okay.
I clicked skipped recap. I had skipped a whole episode. So I had managed to go from 8, skipping episode 9, which was critical, and then straight to episode 10.
So you're like, how did he get here?
I was like, wait a minute. This isn't how I left it, you know?
Exactly.
And then I looked over it, and I guess when I had, you know, it automatically goes to the next episode.
Yeah.
But then when it had already gone to the next episode, I had clicked next episode. So it had skipped the episode.
Oh, too funny.
And it was like an instant reveal. All right, well, I know she ends up there, you know? And then halfway through, like, it was like 2 o'clock last night, and I was like 5 episodes in the second season. And I was like, I'm going to watch the rest of it, but let me just see. And I looked at all the thumbnails, and the thumbnail of the last episode is the complete spoiler for the whole series.
Ah, so thanks for telling me. I don't want to look at the thumbnail.
Don't look at thumbnails before you get to it.
No. So I thought, you watched one show, I watched a bunch. I thought of one more thing that we watched too, is cool. The Mind of Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, I wanted to watch that, but again, depressing, I think.
Yeah, it was depressing. But like, man, insightful. So he had some serious CTE, you know, the brain trauma. And also this is hearsay because he's no longer around.
Right.
But supposedly, like, he was gay and trying to hide his homosexuality. And I mean, it was unbelievable, man. It was like really, it was riveting.
Well, I did watch the Super Bowl. And at the beginning of the Super Bowl, they had this great commercial for the 100 years of the NFL, you know?
Yeah.
And they had, basically, they give a 10-year-old boy a football. And they says, take it to the house or take it home. And this boy runs from like New York City all the way down to Miami.
Oh.
And he runs into all these famous people and like all these football players from the past are like trying to get the ball from him or trying to help him get the ball back. And
yeah,
like different people in sports are trying to get the ball from him or get the ball back to him. And he runs all the way and he's gathering all these 10-year-old boys and girls along in his group as he's running, you know, and he runs all the way down to Miami, gets into Miami and all this stuff that they filmed, the boy and all these kids, they run out onto the field.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So it's this great stunt where they play it on the Jumbotron, they play it on the TVs, and then it flows into real life. And as I'm watching it, I start crying.
Okay.
And I don't know why I'm crying. And I finally, I said to myself, I'm crying because I remember what it was like to be that 10-year-old boy. And I did play football in high school.
Yeah.
And although I know what that felt like, I will never let my son play football.
Right.
And they say ignorance is bliss. And it was kind of like that. It was like this, you know, ignorance was blissful of this time when you didn't know about CTE and things like that. And it's like,
oh, and Hernandez was a beast, man. They show him in high school, like And then he's 17 in college playing, like a 17-year-old just dominating. I mean, the dude was a beast. But from like 6 years old till, you know, when he goes to prison and everything, I mean, he plays football. And I mean, how many blows to the head does that guy have? And he had like a severe case of CTE by that point.
Yeah.
As one of the youngest people that they've seen with that sort of a brain trauma.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was really good, really insightful. I mean, all around, like the fact that his dad was so homophobic and then he was trying to hide his homosexuality. And so in order to do that, he's playing like gangbanger, you know? And I mean, it was just so like ridiculous.
But, so tragic.
Oh God, it was awful. And one of his friends said he wanted him to either go to Seattle or San Diego or something, you know, get drafted there.
Yeah.
So he would be so far away from everything that he would be able to not have that influence of the neighborhood, essentially. And he can actually focus on football and life and everything. But being in Massachusetts, essentially, you know, in Boston, he's like a couple hours north of Connecticut, and he had readily available access to all the thugs that he knew.
Right.
And it was like, there was just, he just went right back into it, but this time was just a lot of money.
Yeah.
Which just exacerbated the problem, you know?
It's just jet fuel. It's just jet fuel to problems.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah, it was incredible. But no, that was a good one too. So I would recommend that one as well. But yeah, I'll check out you though, man. That looks cool. That'll be probably, you know, some trainer fodder. I told Clarissa that we're going to be doing like Mr. Robot on the trainer and stuff. And she's like, oh, when I'm like my heart rate's at like 180, I can't concentrate on some TV show, you know, like, and I'm like, okay, well, hey, do the best you can, you know, like.
It's so funny because a couple of Audrey's friends watch you. And that's one of the reasons that I watched it to see if I could let Audrey watch this. And I definitely, I definitely will not. And it wasn't for the serial killer stuff. It was for the perverse sexual stuff that's in it. And basically I just explained like the basic serial killer stuff to her because she had kind of heard here and there. And she sees all the memes about the stalkerness of him. And I was like, yeah, it's good to be aware of how stalkerish he is. You know, that's something that's positive, you know? So I explained that all to her. She goes, oh, I get the memes now. Okay, cool. That helps me understand what all these memes are about.
Well, and Ted, I mean, the thing that I notice is we're, you know, parents who are somewhat protective of what our kids view, because not that they're never going to watch it, but right now they're just not mature enough to know.
Right.
In the vivarium trailer, when he's showing the middle finger and they're all flipping each other off and the boy's like, what does that mean? Exactly. You know? And it's like, like, it's not that you'll never know that, but right now at 5 years old or whatever, that's not the time to you need to know. Like, it doesn't concern you right now.
Right, exactly.
But you'd be shocked how many kids, Timmy's friends and stuff, you know, in his class, and they're like, oh, you know, like Marcos, he's playing like whatever first person shooter with zombies blowing heads off. And I'm like, what? Like, you know, I'm not saying you're never going to play it. And I'm not saying like it's appropriate or not appropriate, but it's not appropriate for a 6 year old.
Yep.
You know, and they're so I get it.
Enough, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, they just don't know it's like kind of like Saturday morning cartoons, and then all of a sudden they go right into a Lucky Charms commercial, you know, advertisement. It's like the kid doesn't know an advertisement from the cartoon, and that's the brilliance of it. They just think it's more programming, yes, you know? Yes. Well, and that's even a way to say it, programming, right? Like,
That's why the FCC has very strict guidelines on wholesaling.
Well, now they do. When we were kids, they didn't.
No, they did not. They did not.
And no wonder we're the way we are.
I'm going to go get some Captain Crunch right now. Thanks.
That's right. All right, man. Well, hey, you go finish getting well. Enjoy your day off tomorrow with your brood.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad you're feeling better and you were up to doing some recording, you know, and having the flu kind of sucks, but you're not sweating, it doesn't appear, so.
A little bit. It's good.
Yeah, it's breaking. Yes. Go take a shower.
Thank you. See you.
All right, man. We'll catch you. Bye.
Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the Holy Trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.